Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the latest edition of Hard Worka with Pete, the Job Guy Langlois. And as you guys know by now, you tune in on Sundays to get free, extensive career advice, as well as insight on the latest employment trends from the staffing industry's leading authority. That's the man sitting in front of me, Pete, the Job Guy Langlois. And Pete has over 30 years of experience in staffing, and we want to invite you to join the discussion on workplace controversies with this honest and entertaining filter. And again, just because we're here every Sunday morning, we're up early, doesn't mean you have to be. If you can't make it every Sunday, if you can't catch every Sunday show, you can always tune in to PeteTheJobGuy.com, and that's a website where you can access this show and more content. And if you're a reader, that's also where we'll provide a transcript of today's show. If you have any questions at all, his email address is Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. How you doing, Pete? And welcome back.
Do the hustle. Sunday morning, all you hard workers out there. Holy cow, do we have a great show, and I'm so glad you joined us. You could be doing all kinds of other things right now, but you made the smartest decision on earth, and that is to join me. And if you're here each and every week, you know we share nuggets, bits of information to help your job, your career, to go just a little bit smoother. We give you information that'll help you to be more effective, more productive, and get the job done better, faster, and I don't know, anything more than the guy sitting next to you. You know, does anybody on this radio broadcast that's listening to me right now know what the heck a coffee creep is? A coffee creep is someone that drinks the last cup of coffee in the office and doesn't make another pot, okay? I roll in here. I'm in the WOKV studios this morning. I roll in and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee, sit on down and talk to all these folks this morning. And I get in and I realize that here in the studio, this beautiful place, WOKV, we have coffee creeps. Somebody drank the coffee and didn't make another pot. So I'm sitting here drinking water, but it's okay. I got enough energy for about 16 people, so that's all right. And as I said, each week we dispense career advice. We give you, you know, you listen to this show because you're going to be entertained, right? The show's funny. We're going to say, I get the original hard worker, Alex Stuckey, with me. I got the world famous Aaron Mills with me. And we'll laugh and we're going to have a good time. But almost every time, if you do something differently as a result of the time that you spend listening to this show, you're going to be the better for it. You're going to benefit for it. So I congratulate you for making the smart decision, for joining us today. And today's a funny show. And today we are 100% live and we're taking calls. If you want to be part of the show and join the discussion, it's 904-340-1045. That's the number, 904-340-1045. And here's what we want to hear from you today. What was the first job you ever had? Okay. Or what was the worst job you ever had? Nah, I'll tell you what, I've had some crummy jobs. We've all had some crummy jobs, whether we had an overbearing boss that was nuts or, you know, we're cleaning stalls or, you know, just doing some weird stuff. I've had some bad jobs. And, you know, I always say that I am the sum total of my life's experience. What does that mean? To be the sum total of my life? I'm a product of everything that has happened to me in my life to date, okay? And I'm at a good space. I've had some successes, some professional successes. I'm in a great relationship, good family. You know, looking at my life, things are great right now, and I'm very happy about that. But there have been times where I have failed, epic failure, you know? It says in my bio, I've had career lows as well as career highs. My gosh, I've had some career lows. And I'll tell you, the good thing about being the product of all these experiences is I wouldn't want to go back and change much. You know, there are some things maybe I wish I avoided or a little less of this, maybe more of this. But I'm happy where I'm at. And the reason I know I'm happy is because of the failures. So when we talk about, you know, some of the jobs that we've done, the worst jobs, the first jobs, these are building blocks that help when you have a good career and things, when the moons do align for you, you appreciate them all that much more. Let's take a look at some of the things. Okay, let me tell you about my first job. Now, I've had a few jobs, okay? And even before I was old enough to work, I had paper routes, I cleaned a canteen truck, I mowed lawns, I shoveled snow, all that other fun stuff. But when we turned 16 years old in Tewksbury, Massachusetts, when I turned 16, I was able to pay taxes and actually, you know, have a real legit job. I wasn't excited about paying taxes. And, you know, granted, it was under $4 an hour because I'm very old. And I worked at Papa Gino's. Okay, and Papa Gino's makes pizza, and it's a family style kind of not fast food, but it is kind of fast. You order at the counter, and they bring you your pizza and sandwiches, etc. And when you start at Papa Gino's, and Al was my boss, you start off as a G. You can be a G, a P, and then a GPR. Okay, and a G meant I was able to work the grill. Okay, so I came in and I made sandwiches, hot and cold sandwiches, when they called it the G. So I sat there. If you went in and said, I want a ham sandwich or I want a steak and cheese sub, that was me. And I did everything I could to make you the best sandwich you ever could eat. And I got there early and I swept. My parents came in not long after I started the job, and I couldn't even look at them because they were a distraction. I had to make sandwiches and I had to sweep and keep that place clean. So I couldn't even like walk over to them and say anything because I was way too focused and I was on the clock. But that was my first job ever. I'll never forget it. I was on time. I worked hard. I was there for about a year while I played football and wrestled and had school and all that other fun stuff. But I wore my little white suit, black bow tie, and my name tag that said Pierre on it. I didn't even put Pete. I put Pierre on it. So I want to hear your first jobs. Remember, our number here is 904-340-1045. Okay? The first, now, I have the original hard worker sitting right next to me, Alex Stuckey. Alex, first. Whoop, whoop. Well, Alex and Aaron are my co-hosts. Alex, what's your worst or first? Let's hear it.
All right, I'll talk about my first. My very first job was at McDonald's.
Oh, you're a McVIP.
You're a patty
yes, you betcha.
Flipper.
I'm a Mcologist. So, obviously that wasn't my very first job. That was my first job where I got paid. I had worked at the farm my whole life, and but after school, I decided I was going to take a first paid job, and so I went to work at McDonald's. And I was 15, so I didn't get to get the G like you did because you weren't allowed to work the grill or touch anything hot when you were 15. You had to wait until you were 16.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I was the dish dog, and washed the dishes did that type of activity, ran the cash register, and it was funny because just like you, I got there early, you worked hard, when your friends came in, you weren't distracted, you just stayed focused, and one of the funny things about it was one day I was outside and I was washing the parking lot, right? Nobody told me to wash the parking lot, I was just out there washing the parking lot, and every time there weren't dishes to do, I would go find something to do, whether it was clean the bathrooms or clean up, tidy up, and go outside. So I'm out there washing the parking lot. And this older gentleman, gray hair, comes walking by, and he looks over there, and he says, "How you doing?" I said, "Great." And he walks on to this little building in the back of the McDonald's, and it was a separate building. I was wondering who that fellow was. And a little bit later, a lady came up there and tried to crank her car, and it wouldn't crank. And it was kind of going, "Wah, wah, wah, wah." We all know that sound of a dead battery, right? Yeah. And so I had her pop the hood, and I went and got some Coca-Cola and poured it on the battery because it was all covered with nastiness. And it cranked up, right? And
I said, 15?
15, yeah. Oh, I said, "Oh, thank you for coming to McDonald's," you know? And so she leaves. Well, a little bit later, the lady that was the manager comes over to me and she says, "Mr. Stryker wants to meet you." And I said, "Me? Who's Mr. Stryker?" And she's like, "He owns the place." And I thought, "Oh, Lord, I'm fired." And she takes me back to that back building and we walk back there and go sit down.
Sounds
and I'm turning
sketchy.
All red, right? Because I think I'm in big
trouble.
Oh, this
is you did something.
Yeah, I did something, right? And so, because my dad, you know, as growing up, he never, ever had a conversation with me and said it was something I did wrong, right?
Yeah.
As long as I was doing something right.
Alex,
never
get over here, boy.
Right? That's right. Yeah. You never heard anything about doing something right.
Right.
You just heard when you did something wrong. So I was embarrassed and I was sitting there and I was all red. And he introduces himself and he says, "You know, I just wanted to talk to you because I saw you out here washing the parking lot and I thought I was going to get trouble for wasting water." And he says, "You know, appreciate that. Who told you to do that?" And I said, "Well, nobody." And we go through the whole story. Long story short is he goes, "I'm going to give you a raise." And I'm like, "A raise? Oh, my God.
That's
awesome." $3.40 an hour. So
whoa,
I got a nickel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I got a nickel raise from $3.35 to $3.40, and I was so excited. And it was, you know, one of the greatest experiences because I learned that if you go out and beyond the ordinary, right, don't just do what you're told.
Right.
Do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
That you'll have good things occur to you.
You got that right. That's good. Aaron, what's your worst or first?
My worst or first? My first job, I'll talk about my first job, and I kind of had two first jobs because I worked two jobs in high school. I know, that sounds crazy.
Wow.
I was definitely a hard worker. And so my very, very first job was in, I guess, the restaurant industry. I worked in a restaurant in a nursing home. So it was one of the sweetest, most fulfilling jobs ever. I just worked with a lot of veterans. But don't get me wrong, they get mean when you don't deliver their food on time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were very, very
people are funny
crabby.
Like that. Yeah.
Very crabby. And then I also worked, I guess I won't name it, but a Froyo shop. So I was a Froyo specialist.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool. And I guess that's when I first started my first little bits of marketing, because I would go and write on the board about all the promotions that we had for the week. And I would tell my friends to come in.
Oh, not sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So... that was my first two jobs, and I don't know if I have a worse job. I would just say that working in the restaurant business was terrible for me. I was way too nice. It was way too nice.
Right. You know, a lot of people on their first jobs, they gravitate to food service. You know,
yeah.
The interview process is one. Yes, you have a pulse, and you can think and speak on your feet. We're going to hire you, right? A lot of times, that's what it is. Food service now can be a very good career path. Mm-hmm. You know, even as waiters and waitresses and bartenders make more money than
so
most
much money.
Other folks.
Oh my gosh.
And I think about some of the skills that you pick up, customer service, dealing with difficult people, no doubt, you know, counting money and et cetera, all that other fun stuff. But, you know, you pick up skills no matter what you do. And again, we're the sum total of our own experiences. Guys, I want to invite you to join the discussion. Again, our number is 904-340-1045. And when I joined the Navy years back, and I was in the Navy, as you know, for 7 years, right? Part of when you get assigned a command, you go there, and then right after you're there, you have what they call TAD, temporary assigned duty. So I go and I meet all the guys, and you know, here I am, a jet mechanic. I'm going to work on these engines, and I was all excited to do it. And then all of a sudden, I get tapped on the shoulder, and they say, "Oh, here's your TAD, your temporary assigned duty." And I had to go to the mess hall. Right. And I'm thinking, OK, I'm going to make people sandwiches. So I get out there and I'm thinking, OK, I have some skills here. I can make some sandwiches. You know what I had? Let me just tell you this. What I had to do, and you might laugh at this, is they had me go outside here in Jacksonville, Florida. When I came down from Boston, I realized what humidity is. And it was 105 degrees outside. And I'm in my full dungarees. And there was this chain that was out in front of the mess hall where you eat. And this chain had been painted probably 147 times because it's NAS Cecil Field had been around since the beginning of time. And I spent 8 hours chipping paint in the full uniform with this metal, looked like a crowbar. And all I did was just chip paint. And I had the added great glory of coming back the next day and sanding the chip paint. Oh, it was awesome. Guys, Larry has been holding for us for just a little bit, and we're going to take his call right here. And Larry from calling us from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Larry, tell us a little bit about your first job.
Sure. Yeah, my first job, I was known as the English Town Egg Boy.
Egg Boy.
English Town Egg Boy. What did you do? Tell us about this.
I'm sure you're going to get many Egg Boy call-ins today.
Yeah.
But I came from a long line of Egg Boys where I worked at a flea market. So I started working in seventh grade and haven't stopped working since then.
Okay, so
What I would do, my boss was Walter Frankenberg, and Walter, amazing man, and I'm really calling to honor his legacy, because he was someone who survived the Holocaust and was had an egg farm and was able to put three daughters through college, and he said, "Larry, put your kids through college, and then after they're done, you know, buy them a car," because I was able to do that, and I'm a survivor. I'm calling to honor him.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Go
ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead. This, you know.
Well, one thing I learned, one of the lessons I learned was, you know, basically you got to do what your boss asks you to do. Some of the things he would ask me to do, he'd say, Larry, can you go to the truck and get me my teeth? Seventh grade, I'm like, sure, Walter. He'd put it in a little sandwich bag and bring him his teeth. But I would tie eggs into 2.5 and 5 dozen flats all day long from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we were the first ones there to the flea market and the last ones out, no matter how cold it was or how hot it was.
You know, I love that story, and I'm going to venture a guess that you're going to be the only egg boy to call. But what a wonderful story about Walter, his legacy, and his teeth. I think that's just that's wonderful, Larry. I appreciate the call, and guys, we're you know what? Let's go to the world famous Aaron Mills, and we're going to have Aaron read us the job report. Yeah. Let's have the job report. Aaron?
Yay! Hi, everyone. I'm Aaron Mills, and this is your J-O-B report. The total non-farm payroll employment rose by 150,000 in July, and the unemployment rate edged down to 3.9%, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, reflecting more job seekers entering the labor market. Employment increased in professional and business services, manufacturing, and in healthcare and social assistance. I'm Aaron Mills, and this is your JOB report.
Fantastic. Thank you, Aaron. It's another good job report. You know, it's nice to have these in succession, one after the other. Unemployment remains low. The demand for jobs is high. Good quality candidates are getting harder to find. Why? There wasn't a candidate genocide. It's because they're all working right now. And as a prospective employer, you have to realize when the market is like this, it's harder to find people. And you have to do things differently to entice people that are already in good jobs to come and work for your company. So as a prospective employer in town, you have to know what's so great about your company and be able to rattle it off. Is it a career path? Is it a track for people that you hire? Do you pay more? Do you have better benefits? Do you have a casual work environment? Do you have workforce flexibility? Do you have a wellness program? All these things employers out there realize it's harder to find good talent. The easiest way to find good talent is to call me, Pete the Job Guy. You can email me, pete@petethejobguy.com. You can call my office at SNI Companies at 904-713-2550. You can work directly with me or one of the fantastic recruiters we have there. I'll tell you something about SNI that's different here in Jacksonville than any other employers is our average tenure in the seat of the people there. You ever notice you call places, you know, hey, I'm your new rep. Hey, I'm your new rep. You know, every week someone shuffles out. The average tenure in Jacksonville is over 3.5 years. That's average.
Well, and you know, we celebrated several long-term folks as well. I just got back from Ohio, where Linda Neese had celebrated her 40th anniversary with the company.
That is right? Phenomenal.
Not 40 years old, 40 years with the company.
Oh, my gosh.
And fantastic, right? One of the great long-term recruiters that we have at the company. And so you're right. But, you know, one of the things that the employers need to think about, too, is, you know, they've gotten kind of lazy, right? And they think, oh, well, we can take a long time to make a decision. And interview lots of people and go through our perfect hiring process. And if you do that, you're out, right? Because people are making a quick decision and they have multiple offers. It's kind of like when the real estate market's hot, right? We had your friend in the real estate business.
Yeah, Kim Sessions on.
Kim Sessions, right. Yeah, and it's kind of like that, right? When the market's hot, you know, they got multiple offers, some of them higher than what the asking price are.
Right.
And it's the same thing in the job market right now. You know, you put out a job and it's $80,000 a year, and people are getting offered $85,000.
Right, and you know, the other thing too is, you know, every candidate, someone's talking in their other ear. Yep. Okay, multiple opportunities. Yeah. The other thing right now, if you post an ad, you're going to get the best of what's actually looking. People that have good jobs, they're not looking at ads,
right?
They're all happy and doing their job. That's why you call me, Pete the Job Guy, and my team, SNI Companies, GE Group, Scribes here in town, and we help you find people faster. You know, a lot of times we save you money. You know, we can find them. Save your time is money. If you're spending 3 weeks interviewing just to get someone to the next level and then this, I've already done that. My team's already done that, and we'll find the people for you. We have better software tools, all that other fun stuff. Guys, today we want to hear about your first and worst jobs. You know, whether it's the worst job, crazy boss, nutcake, you know, you're doing some, maybe you're an egg boy for Walter and you're getting his teeth. I don't know. We want to hear your worst job and we want to hear your first job. Call us up, share. I got a couple of people holding, but we're winding down towards the end of our first part of the show right here. And when we come back from our break, that's when we're going to start taking calls again. But I invite you to definitely be part of the discussion. Join it. Have a little fun. 904-340-1045. And we're going to, Aaron?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
As far as...
I don't know. You were looking at me like I said something
crazy. I'm just really excited to hear people's stories. And I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat because I don't want anybody to reveal any names or companies.
Oh, that's
so
a good...
if we could...
That's a good point.
If we could not say any more names, I'd be completely happy the rest of the show.
Right, right. I like just saying you could give me a fake first name if you're here in town or just say, hey, you know, I'm Larry from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. You could say whatever, but just share your real story. We want to hear it. Okay, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. I want all you hard workers to come back. Let's take a break now, listen to some news and weather, and get an update. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Hope you went and put some coffee in your cup. You know, if you were here at the beginning of the hour, you know I can't put coffee in my cup because here at WOKV, we have coffee creeps. That's whoever takes the last coffee.
Alex.
You know the rule.
Not me.
You're supposed to replenish the coffee. Make another pot. You pay it forward. That's the right way to do it. Guys, we've got a couple of holders right now. We have Lisa traveling. Lisa's from Sarasota. She's traveling through Jackson. She's picking up the show right now. We have Michael out in Neptune Beach is next. We're just going to talk real quick. I promise you won't be more than 2 minutes, and we're going to take Lisa first. But I want to talk for just a second. Alex, tell us a little bit about planning.
Planning. Okay, so, you know, we talk on the show all the time about having goals and planning, and I was just going to make a quick quip about the fact that, you know, we make all these.
Go ahead, quippy.
Quippy.
Is that a real word?
We make, yeah, of course it is, bigly.
Look it up right now.
It's bigly good. So that, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think what happens is our maker sometimes looks at all our plans and laughs, right? It's comedy for him or her, however you may see it.
Right.
But you know, one of the things we have to talk about is humbling yourself, right? You know, it is Sunday morning, and sometimes you got to humble yourself and not just to your creator, but to your boss as well, right? Because they are in that position of authority. And so, you know, by doing that, it makes you a better worker,
right?
And then it makes you a better boss later on.
Right, like you're saying, you could have the best laid plans, and someone's just going to come out and reshuffle the whole deck.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Aaron?
Yeah, I would say you have to be completely flexible. You know, you have to have your steps planned out, but then ride out and, you know, just
you got to hit
sure.
the curveball, too.
Yeah, you just got to be ready for that stuff.
Yeah, you can't
and
just
before...
hit all the fastballs. You got to hit the curveball, too.
Before
well, we
I
better
forget.
Get to Lisa, too, because she's traveling through Jax, and she may lose connection.
I got you. Lisa, you've been very patient.
Yes.
I understand you have first and worst all together.
No, not altogether. But my first job was at the Corn Dogs. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. The Corn Dogs on the Stick.
Oh, I love those things. Those things are awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. We had cheese sticks and Corn Dog on the Stick, and we had cherry lemonade. But that was my first job, and we used to make the lemonade. It was all girls, and we wore these shorts.
I bet you made a lot of sales.
So
it was a uniform that we had to wear. I mean, it was not like, anyway, we were young. I was in high school, and we would have this urn and pump the lemonade. And we would always, we were kind of really innocent, and we always wondered why the men would stare at us.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, now.
So the
name of the place was Corn Dogs? That was the name of the place?
That was the name of the place. It was called the Corn Dog, and it was in a lot of malls across the country.
Oh, my. And was this last year, Lisa, or was this some time ago?
No, this was in 1980, in the 80s.
Oh, back when Z Cavaricci, Gloria, what was it? Gloria Vanderbilt jeans. Come on,
yeah,
parachute
exactly.
pants and mullets were a dime a dozen. You know.
Yes, absolutely. We everyone, all the girls had a mullet too. It was
crazy. Oh my gosh.
You had the moose rake in the front of your hair where it's yeah. like you tease it up, spray it, then tease it and spray it again and try to get it to stand a foot off your head. I remember those days. Yeah. I remember
yeah.
them well.
Our high school was a little more subtle, but yeah, there were the people from the small towns that did that.
Oh man. You know what, Lisa? I appreciate the fact that you're traveling through Jacksonville and you called into the show to share your first job over there at the world famous Corn Dogs, you know, in her
yeah.
shorts and churning lemonade and, you know, all this interesting fun stuff. Thank you for joining. All right, next up, joining the discussion is Michael from Neptune Beach. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. Tell us your first job.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Well, it's not quite my first job, but it's a job that I still haven't completely learned all the lessons about. So I was wondering if you guys could maybe help me and give me a little insight.
Well, sure.
This is parenting? It's my first job in college. And it was like a little bit of an entrepreneurial gig. So what we did is we were allowed to go through the dorms and sell food around midnight when everybody was getting lunches late at night. And so what we had to do is we had to choose between different hot subs, cold subs, bagels and donuts and sodas. And whatever we bought, we would be responsible for. And if we sold everything at the end of the night, then we'd keep the difference. But if we didn't, then we'd be stuck eating like 14 meatballs. So how do you figure that out? I remember as many nights eating meatball or eggplant.
Yeah, whatever you eat the most of, don't do that one again.
Yeah. Here's the fun part. When I hear dorms, I hear midnight and food. I'm thinking munchies, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, if I am the entrepreneurial guy, what are these munchy kids looking for right now? Something
salty food.
Something salty. It's got to be fast, salty, and plenty of it. So I'm going to stock up on the salty stuff, and I'm going to stock up on the fast stuff. Did you have a question associated with that? Because you said I want some advice. Because if you're looking to get, are you looking to get back in that business, Michael?
You never know. No, things can get tough again.
What are you doing now, Mike?
I mess around with people's hearts.
Oh. Okay.
He's a lover boy.
Not like Jeffrey Dahmer.
that is an interesting job. I mean, that's kind of, is someone sharing in the profits, but, a lot of times with risk, there's reward in jobs, okay? There's risk in taking on that, because if you don't sell all the product, you're going to have to do something with it. You eat the difference, right? And this one, it's quite literally, you eat the difference. But, the upside's tremendous. And that's how, when I look at my career path, that's why I got into sales, because, a career in sales, you get out of it what you put into it. The more product you sell, right? Mm-hmm. And I happen to be in the human capital business. The more people that I help by placing them on assignments, or the more companies that I help by finding the talent, the better I do. And it's great. So this is kind of an entrepreneurial job. It's you picked up valuable sales skills. No matter if you're messing with people's hearts right now, I'm going to tell you in whatever capacity that is, Michael. But I'll tell you, you picked up skills then that transfer for the rest of your life. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with difficult people. Sometimes you're dealing with high people in a dorm. You're dealing with all walks of life. Alex?
Well, and like anything else, right? So when you're dealing with a product and you don't want to have waste or spoilage, right? It's all about pricing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So pricing is the key here. If you started out at the beginning of the day and you're selling those subs for $7 or $8 a piece and you still got a whole passel of them left and it's now 1:30 in the morning, the price needs to drop and you have a special, right? Kind of like the old blue light special at Kmart. Drop that price, get it down to where somebody buys it so you don't have any waste or spoilage. You may be selling it for less than what you have in it, but at least you sold it.
You see, and that these are skills that you pick up later in life, whether no matter what company you're in, you're selling goods and services. Okay, every company is a sales company. They have to have revenue come through the door, and unless you're a nonprofit, you rely on donations. It's still money coming through the door. But if you're selling goods or services, and then you learn skills like managing your product, warehousing, storage, shrink, all that stuff, you learn quickly when you're out in the workforce.
And when you have a scarcity problem like we do right now with in the workplace, right, the pricing goes up. And so that's how you would start in your business, right? You're going to start with higher pricing. You're going to price yourself at a very high price when you first start, and try to build as much profit so that if you do have some losses at the end of the night, you're offset and you're still profitable.
Yeah, very well said. Guys, I want you to join the discussion right here. If you call in, remember, you're only going to be on a brief hold. You're going to talk to our producer, and then he's going to put you over to us, and we're the next people you talk to. And I want to hear about your first or worst job. And our number here is 904-340-1045. We got time for a few more callers, and we look forward to having those. But right now, we're going to go over to the world-famous Aaron Mills to hear a Jack's Fact.
Yay! So as you know, we are well in hurricane season, but did you know, in spite of Florida's status as a hurricane hotspot, Jacksonville has only been directly hit once, and it was in 1871. But don't take your chances this hurricane season. Make sure you are prepared. For tips on hurricane prep, go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. I'm Aaron Mills, and that was your Jack's Facts.
Woo! Isn't that something? Jacksonville dodges the bullet all the time,
yeah,
which is fantastic. Now, we get hit, and
seems
it hurts.
Like we got hit last year,
yeah,
pretty good.
I know.
Yeah, no, it's not a direct hit, right?
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we keep getting these bands. You know, we get them close. They're knocking down trees. They're ripping roofs off houses. Some people
crazy.
Like, we didn't get hit. What are you talking about? My whole screen enclosure was trashed. My this happened and that happened. It was flooding on my street. It happens, right? But it's just these direct hits are something totally different.
They're
nasty. And that one that did hit, what was it, Dora? Did you have the name? I'm pretty sure it was Dora.
No.
That wasn't?
I can't
remember
that
which one.
That was Tallahassee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nasty, it's violent, and we don't want that. But Jacksonville, we seem to, things look like it's coming our way, and then it turns off at the last minute, and I'm really excited about it. As Aaron said, some of the things that happen with hurricane, and we tell you guys to make sure that, you have candles, and you have a generator, and you have water, and all that other fun stuff, that's important that you have to have to be prepared, an evacuation route, and, you talk about all these things. The other part about hurricanes is your business, the health and stability of your business, because your business has to go on. Maybe your clients are not in the hurricane-impacted area and they're calling. Who's going to answer the calls? What happens when your workers can't make it to work? That's why you begin a relationship with me, Pete the Job Guy, now and our company, SNI Companies and GEE Group. You call now so you have a plan in place so that your business is not impacted like the rest of you.
That's
so
right.
We have a good plan. We have people that can step right in if you need, claims examiners, claims reps, if you need cost accountants, project estimators, whatever you need, we can take care of you during the hurricane season.
Right.
All right, we have, we have two holders right now. We have Angie and Ashley. Let's go to either one. It looks like you might be together. Angie, Ashley, first or worst job? What you guys got?
Well, I have my first job. Hi, Pete. It's Angie.
Oh, this is my wife, Angie. hey, honey. What was your first job? I have no idea.
Worked at Chick-fil-A of all places.
Amazing.
But I wasn't good enough to work up front. So I had to work back with all the chicken. So I cleaned and dipped and wrapped and put those suckers away for 8 hours.
Do you know, married to someone for all these years, kids together, married. I never knew you worked at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I got fired from Chick-fil-A, but I worked
there. The point is you worked there.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
When I go,
right, so,
I think
so
every...
Ashley's going to kill me, but she's got a really good one. And she's like, please don't make me talk. I'm like, no, you got to tell them about this one.
Well, let's hear it. Now we have to hear it. Ashley, let's hear this.
Okay, so it wasn't my first job, and it wasn't my worst job, but it was a fun job.
What was
it? I worked for Conquest Airlines out of Charleston, and it was a 19-passenger metro, and it was a one-person show. I sold the tickets, I boarded the plane, and I even threw the luggage up in the plane.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't fly it, did you?
I did not fly it, fortunately, for all the passengers. Yeah. But so to start this plane, you had to have a battery pack. And so we,
I had
to go down on the tarmac and even push the battery pack and plug it up to the bottom of the plane to get this thing started.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a fun and interesting time. I didn't work there long.
But well, let me ask you, how do you get a job like this? Let's say I'm considering it. Yeah, I'm considering a job as a one person show in a wind up prop job little airplane with a battery pack.
It was an ad in the newspaper.
Yeah. I had a friend, an acquaintance that was doing it, and said, "Hey, we need some help over here. You want to come work?"
Yeah, that's it.
Take a whole lot of qualifications.
Oh, gosh. All right. Hey, listen, guys. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. That is hilarious. And, you know,
it is really funny, isn't it?
Right. It is. All right. Bye, Angie.
All right, bye,
and
bye,
Ashley.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye bye, guys. So how funny is that? Okay. Now we have Chick-fil-A. And I'm going to tell you, I go to Chick-fil-A. That's an A+ every time I go.
Yeah.
Okay, the food is ridiculous. The people greet you, the real. And to hear that Angie wasn't one of those people that could greet us, okay? She wasn't one of the folks that could give us that sandwich, the glorious, wonderful, delicious, hot, steamy, and waffle fries.
Whoa.
and all of it, okay?
Are they sponsoring the show?
Exactly. Are they? I'd like to know.
Well, you know what? Today's Sunday, so what does that mean?
Oh, they're closed. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A is closed. What a cruel joke they play on us. I don't understand it. Okay, but I do get it, and that's a good company thing they're doing. But anyway, Angie, it's nice to know that Angie, who's very successful in business, she's not working now, but she was in staffing for, 15 years plus, and built offices herself, very successful, but she wasn't good enough at her first job at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And then to hear Ashley tell us about this plane thing, a one-stop shop, that's, had some crazy jobs. Alex, what else have you done? I know you've lived a long and storied life. Give me one other worst or first, or maybe a funny boss you had. But keep in mind, you're in Jacksonville, and there's a lot of listeners here. And, you know, some of the people that you might talk about, they know you, and they know where you live, Stucky.
All right, so I'll talk about Lake City then from the big city. So I grew up there on the farm and did everything on the farm, including breaking, training, racing thoroughbred racehorses. And when
muck and stalls,
all that. And when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, my dad put me in the trailer and, you know, not in the trailer, right? Hooked up the truck to the trailer and loaded up horses and said, off you go, right? You know, and my first trip was to Tampa, Florida. But one of the funniest things ever was I had a good friend of mine, Daryl Ward, who had never left Lake City his whole life. And when we were about 21, in fact, I was going through all the old pictures, my dad put us in a trailer and sent us to New Jersey to go race horses. And so we went all by ourselves and went to New Jersey. And we passed Washington, D.C. And Daryl says, hey, is that like the Washington, D.C., where the president lives? Now, you got to remember, we're driving a big redneck pickup truck, pulling a horse trailer with horses in the back of it. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, can we go by and visit it? And I said, sure. So we pull in to the White House, and obviously it didn't go well. We were escorted
out. You pulled into
the gate.
Oh, yeah.
1600 Pennsylvania Ave or whatever. You pull right out with the horses and everything.
Yeah.
Coming to see the president.
Yeah, exactly. This is like 86, 87. And we pull up there, and
Guns drawn on you?
Oh,
at
yeah.
All?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, sent us and then escorted us out of the entire.
How'd you talk your way out of that one? And I know you get out of some jams, I would say, but yeah.
Yeah, so they separated us and put him in a car and me in a car, and they talked to us a while and realized we were just a bunch of hillbillies from Lake City and thought this was completely innocent. So they put us back in the car and escorted us front and rear all the way out to the interstate and followed us till we were out of D.C.
That's funny. I'll tell one more. This is when I get out of the Navy, when you're transitioning out of the military, begin talking to either an agency or somebody in the private sector prior to just transitioning out. I wasn't that bright. I just, I'm getting out this day. And, you know, and when I got out before I joined the white collar world, I had a good friend of mine, Mike Costello. Mike, if you're out there, had me laying pavers for him for about a year. And I was just doing brick pavers, big jobs, not private residential. But I remember Brian and Mike and Tony and all the guys, and I laid pavers to the point when I interviewed and got a job at Merrill Lynch. And when you work for that company, they fingerprint you when you join. I didn't have any fingerprints. My fingerprints were just wiped clean. Those bricks are abrasive one after the other. But it was, I'm going to tell you what, it was a great transitional job for me. I was a hard worker every day. I mean, I carried the bricks. I laid the bricks. I operated the saw. I was on the Bobcat. We did a little surveying, making sure the land was flat. I really enjoyed that. It was hard work in the hot sun, but I enjoyed it. Aaron, what else have you done?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the overall theme here is that you have to really work hard to get to where you want to be. And sometimes you have to do the things that you don't want to do. And I did have one boss who we always joked around the office and said, like, she's a diva. And she would ask me to make her coffee a certain way. It had to have 2 creamers, 2 spoonfuls of sugar. She had to have oatmeal, and it had to have 8 blueberries in it, and a cup of milk. And so, you know, it just brings you back to humility and what Alex Stuckey was saying earlier. You just have to be humble in the workforce, work really hard, and then, you know, you'll start seeing results.
Yeah, and let's just face it. When your name's not on the sign outside, right, you're working for somebody. And even when you think you're the only one, you have investors, you might have stockholders, you got a group of people that you always have to work your hardest, do your best, and no matter what you're doing, even if you hate your job, you still have to give it your best. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, everybody in this room has been impacted by a good mentor, okay? Mm-hmm. And in life, you can go out and try to seek out mentors and advice and wisdom, but if you want a genuine mentorship, somebody is going to see something in you. Right, you're going to work hard. You're going to go the extra mile. And as a hard worker, a mentor is going to say, you know what? Hey, here's the way you should do it. And sometimes mentorship can be as fleeting as a moment. You know, hey, I saw you do this. Here's what you should do. Some of the people that have had the biggest impact in my life, in my career, you know, they were fleeting moments. That just saw something in me and said, hey, do this, do that. Senior Chief Chapman, you're one of those guys. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I hope you enjoyed the show today, because today was all about these worst and first, because where you're at now, you should look back and say, I learned a lesson from that, or that was funny, that was hard. We laugh about it now, we weren't laughing then, but look, we're the sum total of our life's experiences. I appreciate you sharing your Sunday mornings with me, Pete the Job Guy, and we'll see you back here next Sunday at 8 a.m. Go have a great week.